Yes, Mataji.
Yeah, I started recording, Mataji. Recording is on.
Okay, I don't have permission to record. Can someone record?
Indu has record now. Indu is host.
Mataji. Recording started, Mataji.
It's recording, Mataji.
Chairman Supriya, can you start?
Yes, Mataji. Yes, yes. Hare Krishna, I welcome all the devotees to our Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. And today on the auspicious occasion of Sri Rama Navami, and today we are very fortunate to have with us His Grace Amarendra Prabhuji to enlighten on the topic of Sri Rama Leelamritam. So Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my Dhanavad Pranams. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much Prabhuji for joining this session on this auspicious day and giving your wonderful association Prabhuji. I hand over the call to you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Pranam. My obeisances to all the organizers of the call. My prostrate obeisances to all the senior Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis on the call. Thank you for kindly engaging me in this Vaishnav Seva today on the most auspicious occasion of Sri Ram Navami, the holy auspicious appearance day of Maryada Purushottam Dasharath Nandan, Ayodhyapati, Sita Nath, Sri Ramachandra Bhagavan. Before we get started, I will quickly chant the Mangalacharana prayers. Maybe we can hope the host can kindly mute everyone so that there's no interference sound. And maybe towards the end, if there is a need, we can unmute whoever is needed. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganaragunatan Vitam Tam Sachivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyas Chakripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namini Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare Ramaya Rama Bhadraya Ramachandraya Vedhase Raghunathaya Nathaya Sitaye Pataye Namaha Hare Krishna. Before I begin, I want to offer my obeisances at the lotus feet of my very beloved spiritual master, at the lotus feet of all the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, at the lotus feet of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, and all the wonderful acharyas in our glorious Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Rupanuga, Bhakti Vinod, Bhakti Siddhanta, Bhakti Vedanta, Parampara. My prostrated obeisances to Adi Kavi Valmiki Muni. My obeisances to all the commentators, all the great acharyas, all the great devotees who are surrendered at the lotus feet of Sri Ram. My obeisances at the lotus feet of all the great sadhus who have led their life in Rama Bhakti, in Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, in Kali Yuga, in the past, in the present, and in the future. My obeisances to all the great Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis in whose life the lotus feet of Sri Ramachandra is the only treasure, the service to Sri Ram is the only aspiration. The form of Sri Ram is the only goal. The qualities of Sri Ram are the only feast for the heart. The pastimes of Sri Ram are the only entertainment for the soul. My obeisances to Maryada Purushottam Sri Ramachandra for kindly agreeing to come from his very busy schedule in the spiritual world into this world millions and millions of years ago to perform his very beautiful, wonderful, sweet, yet heart-wrenching and soul-stirring pastimes, which continue to entertain, enlighten, enrich the hearts of one and all, the minds of one and all, the ears of one and all. My obeisances to each one of you for your spotless devotion by your auspicious presence here with your desire to hear about Sri Ram. I am utterly undeserving, utterly unqualified, unworthy to be here on this day. I feel like a crow which is sitting on top of a roof. All of you are very qualified. All of you have studied, heard, spoken, and read the Ramayana so many times. I don't feel as a proper fit here, especially when so many exalted, wonderful Vaishnavas are present here. My speaking is like the croaking of a frog or the cowing of a crow. I don't have any knowledge about Ramayana or about Shastra. I am in no way a knower of tattvas. I cannot chant or recite or explain anything properly. But all of you are kind enough to give me some opportunity. The Ramayana gives a lot of hope. Jayanta became a crow, but still he attained the lotus feet of the Lord. And a crow, which is always looked down upon in Shastra, something which only picks dirt and garbage and flaws and faults, is given the position of the speaker of Ramayana in the Ramayana as Kakabhushundi. So much so that even Garuda comes and sits and listens from this great devotee of Sri Ram. So from these two examples of Kakasur, that is Jayanta, he should have been killed by Sri Ram, but Sri Ram let him go just by taking one eye off. And Kakabhushundi, we see, although being a crow, given a chance to speak Sri Ramayana. I am mustering a lot of courage and a lot of hope from these two examples. All of you, please offer your prayers, blessings, and best wishes. May the right words come at the right time, in the right spirit of service to the lotus feet of Sri Ram. Whatever mistakes may come through my mouth, please kindly correct them in your mind. Please kindly reconcile with senior Vaishnavas. Please forgive me for my faults. And whatever good may come, which may give some pleasure to your heart, is actually straight coming down the Guru Parampara. I am simply being a wire medium. I offer my obeisances to all of you once again. The Srimad Bhagavatam has very beautifully glorified Sri Ramachandra in the 11th canto as Tyaktva Sudustyaja Surepsita Rajya Lakshmim Dharmishtha Arya Vachasa Yadaga Daranyam Maya Mrigam Dayita Yepsita Manvadhavat Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam. Sri Ramachandra has been described in this verse of the 11th canto. And the general understanding of this verse is Tyaktva. Sri Ramachandra gave up. What did he give up? Or what did he give up? Tyaktva sudustyaja. He gave up something which was very, very difficult to give up. Tyaja, dustyaja, sudustyaja. Something which was very, very difficult to give up. So tyaktva, having given up something which was very difficult to give up. And what was that? Sura ipsita, something that even Indra and the demigods will desire. Rajya Lakshmi, that is the abode of Ayodhya, the position, the pada, the position, the post of being the king of Ayodhya. Overnight, everything turned. Reversals came. And the Supreme Lord Sri Ram, without any frown or any shock, with a smile on his face, as he always has, beautifully, wonderfully has, accepted this reversal to show all of us. Sama shatru cha mitre cha yatha mana apamana yoho. Shita ushna sukha dukha. Krishna spoke in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is preaching about this philosophy, but our Sri Ramachandra is practicing it. Sri Ramachandra is showing it by personal example. Oftentimes people ask, is Krishna better or Sri Ram better? The question is only not good, because it is like comparing one fruit with the other. Both are fruits, just their tastes are different. Sri Ramachandra and Sri Krishna Chandra, in Tattva, they are Bhagavat Tattva. They are Ishvara Tattva. They are both Bhagavan. They are both like fruits. But the taste of the fruits may be different. The taste of the mango is different. The taste of the apple fruit is different. The taste of orange is different. They're all fruits, but the taste is different. The tastes are different. So similarly, Sri Ramachandra and Sri Krishna Chandra, Sri Gaurachandra, they're all Supreme Lord. But the rasa, the flavor, the mellow, the taste varies. Just like on a plate, we need all kind of preparations. We need roti also, we need sabji also, we need dal also, we need rice also. We need some curry also, some savories also, or some salad also, and some sweet also. You can't just take halwa, halwa, halwa throughout the plate. We need everything. So similarly, we need for our nourishment, we need all kinds of tastes. We need Narsingha Leela also, we need Krishna Leela also, we need Gaur Leela also, we need Ramchandra's Ramayan Leela also. We need all of these pastimes. The tastes are all different, but fundamentally, one thing is common. That is the spirit of devotion, the spirit of surrender. So we see some similarity and some differences between Sri Krishna and Sri Ramachandra. Like we see Krishna Chandra in the 10th canto or in the Krishna book. We see the childhood pastimes of Krishna are very greatly elaborated. And sometimes each pastime in the childhood can be explained for seven days also. Like Putana can be explained for 7 days. Or Trinavarta, etc. Shakatasur. Childhood pastimes can be explained for a long, long time. But if you see in Sri Ramachandra's pastimes, the childhood pastimes are not so discussed. But Adau Rama Tapovanadi Gamanam, it starts off with Sri Ramchandra's spirit of sacrifice. Tapovanadi Gamanam, going into the forest, giving up the Rajya Lakshmi, the position of being the king of all the opulences of Ayodhya, and going into the forest. So it is a Karunya Rupam Karuna Karantam. It is a description. Sri Ramachandra's pastimes are a description of extreme reversals and extreme tolerance, going through all of that, teaching by personal example, and such compassion. So Sri Krishna, he performs childhood pastimes, and his pastimes are also later, if you see in totality, they cannot be imitated. What about the Rasalila? It cannot be imitated. What about going into somebody's house and breaking butter pots and stealing? Cannot be imitated. Speaking lies, like Krishna does in a very sweet way to Mother Yashoda, Naham Bhaktritavanamba, cannot be imitated. Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra giving Arjuna different ways, tricks and techniques by which he can kill the opponent. All the different intricate nuances found in the Mahabharata cannot be imitated. But Krishna's words must be accepted. Krishna's words and Sri Ramachandra's activities. Krishna's instructions and Sri Ramachandra's demonstrations. These are the two things to be applied in our life. Of course, Sri Ramachandra's instructions also, because it is Maryada Purushottama. Maryada means Sri Ramachandra always remains in the domain, in the territory of proper rules and regulations in a Naravat fashion, in a way, in a human-like fashion, which everyone can relate with. But Krishna dancing on the hoods of Kaliya, Krishna swallowing forest fire, Krishna showing the universe in his mouth, Krishna lifting up Govardhan Hill. These are all superhuman pastimes. Superhuman. When Srila Prabhupada used to be asked about Krishna's Rasalila, Prabhupada used to say, first you lift up Govardhan Hill, then you can talk about Rasalila. When someone would ask about Lord Shiva, you know, is there some reference about Lord Shiva getting intoxicated in a tamasic way, etc. Srila Prabhupada would say, first of all, that doesn't exist. And even if you think that exists, first you drink poison like Lord Shiva, then let's talk about his intoxication and other things. But Sri Ramachandra, you see, moves like a human being. Doesn't do anything beyond the extent of maryada. Something that every human being can follow in his life. Perfect son, perfect husband, perfect master, perfect brother, perfect student and disciple. So Krishna is Leela Purushottama and Sri Ramachandra is Maryada Purushottama. So this question whether Krishna is better or Sri Ramachandra is better. So let's say there's a question. Let's ask a question. If there is a debate between a devotee of Krishna and a devotee of Ram, so who's going to win? If this is the question that is asked, if there's a debate between a devotee of Krishna and a devotee of Ram, who's going to win? Only one person is going to win. And it's very simple. The audience. The audience are going to win. Because when Krishna's devotee and Sri Ramachandra's devotee, they have a debate. And nobody's going to win between them. Because when they speak about tattva, well, Sri Ram and Sri Krishna are the same person. And when you speak about rasa, the devotee who's serving Sri Ram, the rasa, bhakti rasa that he is tasting, he will feel that is the best. And the devotee who's serving Krishna, the bhakti rasa that he tastes, he will think that is the best. So on the basis of rasa, there's nothing conclusive because both are tasting the best. And as far as tattva is concerned, there's no difference between Ram and Krishna because they're both Bhagavat tattva. So both are not going to win. But as they are talking, nectar is being churned out from both Krishna Leela and Ram Leela. And one thing is for sure, the audience wins because the audience is tasting Ram Katha and Krishna Katha. So therefore, this is very important to understand that Sri Ramachandra came in Treta Yuga and Sri Krishna Chandra came in Dwapar Yuga. So before we get, so what do they stand for individually? Sri Krishna stands for love over duty. Love over duty. Krishna is always flowing with love. Love for Mother Yashoda, love for Nanda Baba, love for his cows, love for his friends, love for the gopis, love for Srimati Radhika. So love over duty. Sometimes Krishna may forget his duties also. He was supposed to go to Mathura to release Devaki and Vasudev, but he was so lost in the loving pastimes in Vrindavan that Narad Muni had to come and remind him that you have appeared to kill Kamsa Maharaj and release Vasudev Maharaj and Devaki Rani. So Krishna forgot his duty of Prithvi Bhara Nasho Mukundaha, of reducing the burden of Mother Earth. Because ultimately, why did Krishna come? Because the demigods went and prayed that the weight on Mother Earth's back is increasing because of the sins of the unsaintly kings. So then that's why Krishna came. But he forgot his duty. We could say the Bhagavata was forgotten because of his madhurya, sweetness, madhurta. So Krishna is love over duty. But Sri Ramachandra is duty over love. Even if he loves something, he's ready to, part with it because it is the duty. It is to set the right example. So therefore, this is very important. Treta Yuga first and then Dwapar Yuga. So in Treta Yuga, the duty is given predominance over love. And in Dwapar Yuga, Krishna is saying love over duty, which means before we build Ras Mahal means the palace of sweetness. Like people want to hear Krishna Leela. People want to hear gopis and Ras Leela and all of these things, which is Rasa Mahal. It is the palace of Rasa, the palace of sweet love. But before the Ras Mahal is built, it is very important that the foundation, the basis of Siddhanta through Ramayana is built first. Because if Ramayana is not studied, if the principles of Ramayana, the base, the Siddhanta, the conclusive instructions from the Ramayana are not used as the base, then talking about Krishna Leela and other things is just a hoax, because fundamentally it is Siddhanta from the Ramayana which makes one relatable in this world. And then we can build on other things. Ramayana teaches us how to be a human first. And then later Bhagavatam takes it to Prema Bhakti. So we cannot, even as devotees of Krishna, we cannot take the content of Ramayana out. We need it. We need to hear these things. One could say, I'm a Gaudiya Vaishnav. Oh yes, for a Gaudiya Vaishnav to get onto the Rasa Mahal of Braja Leela, first the Siddhanta of Ramayana is very important. So it is very, very important to know that Sri Ramachandra, the personal conduct and the example that he set is very, very important. So back to the words from the Bhagavatam, Tyaktva Sudustyaja Surepsita Rajya Lakshmim. Sri Ramachandra gave it up. Gave up Ayodhya. Why? Dharmishtha. Because he was very fixed up in dharma. Overnight reversal. And Sri Ramachandra gave it up. Dharmishtha. Being completely fixed in dharma. Dharma to his mother, dharma to his father. As his duty as an individual. Dharmishtha Aryavachasa, by the words of his superior, by his parents' word. Yad Agad Aranyam. Sri Ramachandra walked into the Aranyam. He went into the forest. And there, Mayamrigam, the golden deer, Daitaya Ipsitam, that which was desired by his Daita, Mother Sita. Anvadhavat, Sri Ramachandra ran behind that golden deer. Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam, at the lotus feet of that Sri Ram, whose lotus feet ran behind the golden deer. To that Sri Ramachandra, I offer my obeisances. It's a very great thing to say, I offer my obeisances to the lotus feet of that Ram who ran behind the golden deer. Why? Because generally, to be free from Maya, it's very interesting. To be free from Maya, we have to run towards the lotus feet of Krishna. We have to run towards the lotus feet of Bhagavan. Only then we'll be free from Maya. But this is a very interesting example that a person in an illusory form as Maya is coming in front of Ram and Ram is running behind. So this gives a lot of hope to the devotee that Sri Ram is not telling me, you be free from Maya and then approach me. He's saying, you be in Maya, but somehow you come in my presence. I will run behind you and shoot down your mic form of illusion in this world and liberate you from all bondage. So when Ramchandra's lotus feet are running behind the golden deer, it gives us a lot of hope that even if we are in Maya, if we somehow or the other come in contact in front of the Supreme Lord, Sri Ram, then he will deliver us. So with that introduction, let us begin today's discussion. We have something very beautiful to discuss today on the day of Ram Navami. In the start of the Valmiki Ramayana, in the Balkan, we can see in the first chapter itself, right in the first chapter of Balkan, verse 2 onwards, 2, 3 and 4 very specifically, different qualities of Sri Ramachandra are counted. Konu asmin sampratam loke gunavan kascha viryavan dharmajnyascha kritajnyascha satyavakyo dhradabratah. Very, very beautiful qualities. Just like we see in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami counts so many different qualities of Krishna. Of course, there are unlimited qualities. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in his Govinda Lilamrita has mentioned that the ability of any individual to count the number of qualities of Krishna is so insignificant in compared to the qualities. Our ability to count the qualities of the Supreme Lord is so insignificant compared to the vast, humongous, insurmountable ocean of his qualities. Like, so the example given is, it's like a little bird with a little beak trying to peck on a very hard shell of a coconut with the ambition that the small bird with a small beak can peck and break the coconut. Now that's an impossibility. It's not possible. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, just like it's impossible for a bird, little bird with a little beak, to peck on and break the hard shell of a coconut, it is impossible for any living being to count the number of qualities of the Supreme Lord. Another example given by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is like, he says, counting the number of qualities of the Supreme Lord is like taking one's head and hitting it against Mount Meru with an ambition that we can crack the mountain just by hitting with the head. Now, that's an impossibility. He has given a few impossibilities. Another impossibility is the desire to hold the sun in one's hand. Now, trying to hold the sun in one's hand or trying to peck on a hard coconut shell with a small beak of a bird or trying to crack open a mountain like Sumeru with the ability of one's head banging. It's impossible to either break open a coconut with a beak or crash a mountain to pieces by the banging of one's head or have the ability. However big the palm is, he can't hold the sun there. So Kaviraj Goswami says, similarly, it's impossible to count the number of qualities the Supreme Lord has. Our ability, our vessel to hold on to Krishna's qualities or Sri Ram's qualities is very, very insignificant compared to the quantitative and qualitative analysis of his qualities. Also, it has been mentioned in some other references also that it may be possible at a later day for the scientists or the vibhudaha, the intelligent men, to count the number of atoms in the universe. Now, that's another impossibility. Or count the number of raindrops from the sky. Now, that's another impossibility. Or count the number of stars in the sky. That's another impossibility. Maybe the person will be able to do all of this, but still such a person will not be able to count the number of qualities of the Supreme Lord. So it's very interesting. Right in the start of the Ramayana, the conversation between Valmiki Muni and Narada Muni comes into the scene where the question has been asked to Narada Muni that is there anyone who on this earth, Sampratam Loke, at this moment, who is filled with all these qualities, Gunavan, Viryavan, Dharmajnaha, Kritajnaha, Satyavakya, Dridavrataha. This is just the starting six. There are 16 to count. Is there anyone who is the complete abode of all of these qualities put together? And then in the answer to that, Narada Muni not just answers the question of Valmiki Muni that yes, the answer is Sri Ram, who is the abode of all these qualities, but he also inspires Valmiki Muni to pen down all of that and inspires him to write his magnum opus, which is the Valmiki Ramayana, which is the Adhikrit Ramayana. There are other colloquial editions of the Ramayana, like the Kamba Ramayana, the Adhyatma Ramayana, or the Tulsi Ramayana, etc. But this is considered to be the Adhikrit Ramayana. So it is interesting that Narada Muni is asked this question and Narada Muni answers and inspires. So the Ramayana comes as a gift from Narada Muni's inspiration. We find in the pages of the Bhagavatam in the first canto, right again in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vyasadev is perplexed and bewildered. And it is Narada Muni who inspires him to write the Srimad Bhagavatam. So there, Narada Muni is compared to air. Vyasadeva is saying, oh, Narada, you are like air. Why? Because you are present everywhere. Just like air is present everywhere at all times, Narada Muni is like that. Whether it is, you can see, whether it is Prahlad Maharaj, liberation of Prahlad Maharaj, or the guru of Prahlad Maharaj, Narada Muni, Dhruva Maharaj Narada Muni, Manigriva Nalakuir Narada Muni, Mrigari Narada Muni, Vyasadeva Narada Muni, Valmiki Muni Narada Muni, so many. In fact, Narada Muni goes on to preach even to the sons of Daksha Prajapati. So many instances, Prachetas, so many instances are there in the Bhagavatam and other scriptures also. So Narada Muni is the root, fortunate and the most auspicious root of all scriptures, whether Ramayana, whether it is the Puranic texts, there also Narada Muni is found. In the Bhagavatam also Narada Muni is found. So he's like the air. He's present at all times everywhere. And air also has one more quality, that it is very detached. The air may touch a flower and then just carry the fragrance far and wide. So the air is not just sitting next to the flower. It touches the flower. And although the air at that point will be detached from the flower, it still carries the aroma of the flower. This example is given in the 11th canto also, especially in the 24 Siksha Gurus of the Avadhut Brahmana. There, Dattatreyaji, there the quality of air has been described and it is detached. So Narada Muni is also like that. He's all over the place. He may not be in Vaikuntha touching the flower lotus flower of Mahavishnu's lotus feet, but the aroma of Harikatha is carried by this air called Narada Muni everywhere. So he's everywhere at all times, detached from everything, yet carrying the aroma of the flower like lotus feet and the qualities of the Lord. Also, another quality of the air is it is life-giving. We can't imagine life without air. So Narada Muni is the one who brings in life. He brought in life in the life of Prahlad Maharaj. He brought in life in the life of Vyasadeva and Valmiki Muni and so many. So he's life-giving. He is the breath. Narada Muni is the breath. And finally, one more quality of the air, which we can compare to Narada Muni, is air has two characteristics. It can inflame a fire. So where there is breeze, the fire that is already lit can be carried and the intensity of the inflammation can increase. At the same time, breeze can blow off the fire of a candle. So Narada Muni is like that. He's like that breeze. He can blow off the fire of suffering. And at the same time, he can inflame the fire of bhakti. So this is the start of the Ramayana, where Narada Muni is inspiring Valmiki Muni to bring all these beautiful qualities of Sri Ramachandra together. And it's interesting, in another reference, we can find the son of Parikshit Maharaj, Janamejaya, when he is having a conversation with Vaishampayana Rishi, because Janamejaya, the son of Parikshit Maharaj, somehow had an emotional or a mental wall that he wouldn't talk or listen to anyone. And Vaishampayana Rishi was trying his best to get through that wall and speak to Janamejaya. So he spoke two words. He said, Vanabhangam, and he said, Goharanam. So Janamejaya became a little intrigued and curious. He asked Vaishampayana Rishi, what is this Vanabhangam and what is this Goharanam? So Vaishampayana Rishi started speaking. For Goharanam, he explains that the Goharanam pastime is the stealing of the cows from the kingdom of Maharaj Virata and how Arjun rescued. So through the Goharanam and the pastime of the rescuing of the cows, the whole of Mahabharata was spoken by Vaishampayana Rishi to Janamejaya, the son of Parikshit. Then he asked, what is this Vana Bhangam? In Sanskrit, the word Vana means forest and Bhangam means to destroy. So this referred to Hanuman destroying the whole Ashok Vatika of Ravana. So from the word Vana Bhangam, Vaishampayana Rishi spoke the whole Ramayana. And from the word Goharanam, he spoke the whole Mahabharata. And after speaking the whole Ramayana and Mahabharata, Janamejaya was very satisfied. And Vaishampayana Rishi said, so what are the four things that you learned? So Janamejaya says that generally people would say the four things that I learned are dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Those are the four things. Dharma means spiritual practice and artha means economic development or profit. And dharma artha kama, kama means fulfillment of desires. And moksha ultimately means spiritual emancipation or liberation. So generally people would say these are the four things. But Janamejaya said, I will not say these are the four things that I learned from the Ramayana or the Mahabharata. In fact, he said, by hearing the Ramayana and the Mahabharata, my desire for dharma artha kama moksha was eradicated. I don't desire to perform spiritual activities to get some economic benefit out of it, only to enjoy my senses and later be liberated. That's not what my answer would be. Janamejaya, the celebrated son of Parikshit, he said, generally people would say this is what they learned, but I have to be honest. My desire for dharmartha kama moksha was completely uprooted. So then Vaishampayana Rishi said, oh, if that is true, please tell me then what are the four things that attracted you towards these texts? So Janamejaya said, the four things which attracted me towards the Mahabharata are the Nama, Rupa, Guna and Leela, the names, forms, qualities and pastimes of Sri Krishna in the Mahabharata. And then Vaishampayana Rishi said, what about the Ramayana? He said, the Nama, Rupa, Guna, Leela, the names, forms, qualities and pastimes of Sri Ramachandra, who is the abode of all auspiciousness, is what attracted my heart. And then he says, anybody who gets attracted by the names, forms, qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord, namely Sri Krishna or Sri Ramachandra, such a person will, his desire to enjoy or dharmartha kama moksha will be completely uprooted. He will have no desire, just like me. He will absolutely have no desire for any of this. So the first quality of Sri Ramachandra in this verse that from the Balkand that has been described is gunavan. So konu asmin sampratam loke gunavan. Is there anyone who has gunavan? Guna, gunas or transcendental qualities. And van means possessor. Is there anyone who possesses this quality of being virtuous? In Sanskrit, it is translated as saushilyata, which means excellent character. So is there anyone who has this quality? And in response to that, Sri Ramachandra's qualities have been, or Sri Ramachandra's virtuous nature has been described. Now, we will discuss this in two parts. The first part about Gunavan is very interesting on a practical level in this world, we can see. Let's, for example, let us take a practical example, something which is, we all can relate to. Let us think and imagine there is a person from a foreign land who visits, let's say, a third world country. It could be any third world country. Imagine someone who is from a foreign land comes into a third world country. As soon as he reaches the airport, he understands that the temperature is different, the time zone is different, the way of dressing, the way of speaking, the language, the cuisine, depending on what kind of fast food is being offered, and everything, the population, the pollution, everything is different. It's a whole different ball game, different dynamics altogether. So this person, as soon as a person from a foreign land comes into a third world country, he kind of becomes, awkward because he's never encountered such a place. So it is the duty of someone who's there in the airport to welcome such a person and take good care of him. But unfortunately, the world that we live in, para dukha sukhi, the mentality is by exploiting others, by giving pain to others, how much pleasure or how much profit can I gain? This is the consideration. So we see taxi drivers especially, or any vehicle owner, especially the taxi drivers, we see they see someone from a foreign land coming in. And immediately, unfortunately, this is the situation, at least through practical experience that we have seen and encountered. The mentality to charge more, because we know this person can afford and I can cheat him, I can lie. In fact, they even team up, the taxi drivers team up. And there are more players in the larger game. So charging more than needed, exploiting by taking them for longer turns and trips than what is needed, speaking lies, teaming up and cheating them. And sometimes it gets even worse to threatening, extortion, stealing on gunpoint, on knife point, and it can get even worse to rape and murder. Now, this is the unfortunate state of the affair of the world that we live in. Now, in such a situation, if this happens, the person who is in a foreign land, he becomes helpless because he doesn't have, let's say he doesn't have the SIM card of that place. So he can't communicate. He can't communicate to his home country. He doesn't, or let's say his phone is also dead. He doesn't have the number through which he can call. He doesn't know how to get out of that situation. He doesn't speak the language. And he kind of becomes helpless. And in such situation of helplessness, sometimes we see that the person just tries to get out of that place by saying whatever, and sometimes he's stuck. Now let's imagine if this person wants to really, this person from a foreign land really wants to get out of that situation, and he has no way. He can't ask anyone, he can't talk, he can't communicate. Amidst that, let's say his brother, this person from the foreign land, his brother from his home country takes a flight all the way and comes there to this person's place without this person communicating, just seeing the distress, that just feeling that my brother or my sister may be in some, or my spouse or my child may be in some precarious situation, takes a flight, comes all the way, finds this person, holds this person's hand, puts him on the flight back and takes him back to his home country. How hard this person will hug his brother or his sister out of gratitude that I really needed help. How did you come? You came all the way for me and I did not even reach out to you because my phone was dead and I didn't have your number and there was no one here that I could have communicated to. You see, sometimes in the Kumbh Mela, so many lakhs and lakhs of people come. So sometimes they have a booth, you know, they have a small place where lost and found objects and people are called for. So let's say if there's someone missing, a child missing, they have, Bhole Bhatke Hue Shivir. So they have like a place where those who are missing, they make announcements. Is there someone by this dress or this age? The parents are looking for such a child. If you find such a child, please bring them back. Because it's impossible to search for a 5-year-old, 7-year-old, 10-year-old, or even a 20-year-old. I mean, it's lakhs and lakhs of people in the Kumbh Mela, right? So at that time, they just stand there and just depend on destiny that this person may, or someone may see this person, or this person himself may hear the announcement and find his way back to the Shivir. But however, imagine amidst that Kumbh Mela, this person who's searching, he feels, no, he may not be able to find me. Let me go around the whole Kumbh Mela amidst lakhs and lakhs of people, millions and millions of people, and search in person. How much love would that be? That is the love the Supreme Lord Sri Ram has. When he comes into this world on this very day, on Ram Navami, seeing that we are in a foreign land, speaking a foreign language. They're all speaking a foreign language in this world. What is that? Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. Pain, misery, anxiety, frustration, irritation. Temporary spirit. Adi devik, adi bhautik, adhyatmik, janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi. This is the climate. This is the weather and the temperature. This is the cuisine and the tradition and the culture of the material world. And the living being who eternally belongs to Sri Ram is here in this material world, is in a foreign land, and is being exploited by the taxi drivers of material nature. Not literally taxi drivers, but just I'm trying to relate to the previous example. Being tossed by the suffering of the mind, tossed by the suffering of the body, ripped open by the suffering of relationships and financial problem and health crisis. Look what's happening to the whole world now. A spirit soul who is eternal has to be embarrassed in temporary bodies of suffering and disease and distress and death. When the Supreme Lord, out of compassion, understands that this person who is lost in a foreign land cannot even reach out to me. He can't listen to my words of the Bhagavad Gita and come to the Shivir of the lost and found, like in the Kumbh Mela. He cannot take the flight back from the foreign land to the homeland. Let me myself, in my original form, go into that land, find this person amidst millions and millions of jivas. Let me find every jiva out of love, hold their hand, wipe their tears, and take them back to the spiritual world. This is avatar tattva. This is the potency of the Supreme Lord's compassion. So when he says, janma karma chame divyam, how is his karma divya? How are his activities and his appearance divya or transcendental? It is because they're all backed up with the fundamental guna of compassion. Fundamental guna of compassion. You see, in this world, suffering is the fundamental background music, you can say. I remember when the World Cup season was on many, many years ago, cricket. Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj at that time on one Sunday feast, he said that in the World Cup, there are 12 teams. And the rule is only one team can win, which means 11 teams have to lose so that one team wins. Which means for one person to smile as a ratio, there are 11 people crying. For one person to win, there are 11 people to lose. For one person to be happy, there are 11 people sad. That is the ratio. And no incarnation comes like Sri Ram. I'll tell you why. Someone could say, well, by this definition, every incarnation, whether it's Krishna, whether it's Narasingha, whether it is Varaha, they all come. Nishprapanchat prapanchay avatarati iti. They are all coming from that world into this world, finding us. But none of them go through personal pangs of separation and agony and distress in their own leela. Ramachandra's leela is Karunya leela. Sri Ramachandra is signifying by parting with his own wife when she is being or the eternal consort, Mother Sita, when she's being kidnapped by Ravana, to show that how much pain I feel in my heart when I'm separated from Mother Sita is how much pain I feel when I'm separated from you, O living being. That is how much pain I feel. I am ready to walk barefoot in the forest, leave my Ayodhya and walk and sleep on the grass and sleep in thatched hut in a forest. And when I lose you, O living being, I am ready to search by befriending the monkeys. I am ready to fight the demons. I am ready to make a bridge of stones over the ocean of birth and death to rescue you from the Ashok Vatika of this material world while you're kept there by the ten-headed Ravana called Maya. Sri Ramachandra is personally going through that separation and then union with Mother Sita to show all of us. Although Mother Sita is Ladini Shakti and we are only Tatastha Shakti, Sri Ramachandra is personally showing us this is Gunavan. Guna means he has the quality of compassion, of relatability with each one of us. In his avatar also, in his descent only, there is connection of all good qualities. Sri Ramachandra, instead of supremely enjoying his abode there in Nitya Ayodhya or his abode here in Ayodhya, he's leaving that abode, leaving this abode, only so that he's leaving his home twice, that home and this home, only so that we can reach our home at least once. Very hope-giving quality. Gunavan, someone who's ready to take struggle on his own account, only so that others can, all of us can have solace of going back home, back to God. In this world, we see people can sacrifice little for others, but not many. Even animals we can see sometimes. When the master of a dog accidentally slips into water, the dog is ready to jump into water and pull the master out. That is how much affection the dog has. I was reading an article about a penguin which was saved by one person. And the penguin swims thousands of miles across the ocean once every year to come and see the rescuer who saved the penguin. So if dog has the ability to sacrifice, jump into water for its master, and the penguin has its quality of swimming across the ocean for the rescuer, where are they getting those qualities from? It is coming from the Supreme Lord who unlimitedly, for all times to come, qualitatively and quantitatively, is ready to jump into the water of suffering, ready to swim across the ocean of birth and death, only to give us the chance to swim back into the eternal realm of the Lord. This is how much the Supreme Lord loves us. In this world, we take the previous example even further. We see sometimes people, especially children, are unfortunately kidnapped or, you know, sometimes even drugged and made to beg on the streets. And they don't even, poor children, they don't even remember who their parents are or where they come from. And they're just loitering on the street with pain in the body, no slippers in the middle of summer afternoon and no clothes in winter. And they're drenched in rain, no clothing and suffering of the mind. They are also hungry and thirsty, loitering and completely drugged, which means they have no awareness of who their parents are. At that time, imagine if there is someone who goes onto the street, that person, that child doesn't even know how much help it needs. But if there is someone who's very large-hearted, he takes that person, cleans that person, reminds that person, and nurses him back to health and tells him where his parents are and takes him there. How much grateful the child will feel. He can never reciprocate and pay his debt back to the person. So this is how much guna, this is how much love the Supreme Lord has for all of us. For lifetimes of pain that we have been enduring in this world, the Supreme Lord comes once in the day of Brahma as Sri Ram and personally goes through so many twists and turns in his own personal pastime so that we can relate to his pastime and our amnesia, forgetfulness of the eternal world is revived. Forgetfulness is overcome and our eternal memory is revived. He holds our hand and takes us back to the spiritual world. This is the nature of Sri Ramachandra's beautiful, wonderful pattern. So this is one aspect of Sri Ramachandra's guna, which means he has so much compassion for all of us that he's ready to come on this very day to help all of us. Another aspect of Sri Ramachandra's guna or quality is his relatability with all of us. Now, when we talk about saushilyata, it means someone who has excellent character. Queen Kunti says in the Bhagavatam, there are four things which make one proud. Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, and Shri. It is noble birth and lot of wisdom and unlimited wealth and bodily beauty. These are the four things which make one proud. Now, if you actually see, even if one of these things are there, the person becomes proud. Whether there is high birth, Brahminical birth, whether there is richness, whether there is beauty, whether there is wisdom, any one of these things are there, the person becomes proud. What to speak of all four of them there, along with fame and recognition. Manigreve Nalakuver are a classic downslope example of having all four. They had high birth, sons of Kuber. They had a lot of wealth. They had wisdom. They had beauty, a lot of fame. And they went downhill with Aparadha. But look at Sri Ram. He has all four. He has high birth, Suryavanshi, excellent wisdom. Who can even come close to Sri Ram, the Supreme Lord's wisdom? Ram means Ramaniya. He is very, very attractive, very pleasure giving and pleasurable, very beautiful and handsome, and at the same time, very wealthy, being the king of Ayodhya. But look at his humility. Respect for everyone, accessibility to one and all. Generally, when someone has even one of these things, they become a little detached from society and a little inaccessible for one and all to approach. But Sri Ramachandra has all five of them and many more attributes, but so accessible. Whether it is the tribe Guha, whether it is Kevat, the boatman who wanted to take the dust from the Lord's lotus feet when he was crossing across the Ganga. Kevat very transcendently, devotionally tricked Sri Ram by saying that I heard the pastime of the dust from your lotus feet, touching a stone and turning into Ahalya, a woman. I'm concerned my boat may turn into a female. So let me take all the dust from your lotus feet. And he did that repeatedly, and he took the Charanamrit and sprinkled on everyone, kept it for himself, kept it for his family. And Sri Ram just smiled as if Sri Ram doesn't know the inner intention. He was reciprocating to Kevat's devotion. So whether it is the tribe Guha or whether it is Kevat, very easily approaching the lotus feet. Shastra says, Katham Vishnu Padam Proktam Durlabham Ati Durlabham. How is it to approach the lotus feet of the Lord? Oh, very, very difficult. Very, very difficult. When Krishna danced with those same lotus feet on the head of Kaliya, the Nagapatnis are saying, How did our husband get the chance of being touched by the dust from your lotus feet? Not possible. How is it possible? It is only your mercy, my Lord. So Krishna, when he showers the dust from the lotus feet on the head of the serpent, then the prayers are saying even Sri Lakshmi Devi doesn't get it. Even Brahmaji doesn't get it. And here that same Supreme Lord is letting the dust from his lotus feet touch a stone, touch a tribe, touch a boatman. This is the accessibility of Sri Ram. Being the son of Dasharath Maharaj, being the king of Ayodhya, letting tribe like Guha, the Nishad tribe head, Kevat. What to speak of monkeys? What to speak of Sugriva? It's very, very interesting. Sugriva had promised the Supreme Lord. He promised the Supreme Lord that I will help you, my Lord. I will get your wife back. And it's interesting, Sri Ramachandra shot Vali dead, got Sugriva's wife back, and then it was the 4 months of Chaturmas. Sugriva forgot about the promise that he gave Sri Ram. Ramachandra is sitting, remembering Mother Sita. The 4 months of rainy season have passed, but the rock party in Sugriva's palace is still going on. He is still in the mood of enjoying. And when on being reminded that you promised that you will help in the search party, searching Mother Sita. So Sugriva was thinking, oh, really, 4 months have been passed? He even forgot the promise that he gave Sri Ram. So this is Sri Ram. He is accommodating all kinds of people, whether it is the tribe, whether it is the boatman, whether it is a monkey like Sugriva. What to speak of a Rakshasa like Vibhishan? What to speak of a Rakshasa like Vibhishan? being accessible to everyone without having the air that I am the Supreme Lord or I am the King or I am so special. Sri Ramchandra is like an elephant and everyone is like a kid. But what is the elephant doing here? The elephant is coming on its knees and laying on the floor and letting the kid play with its big long ear. The kid can never climb on top of the elephant. But when the elephant sees that the kid is very sincere and innocent, the elephant sits on its legs and let the kid play with its ear. That is the Supreme Lord Sri Ram. Sri Ramachandra as Bhagavan sits down out of compassion, being Gunavan. Lets himself being accessible to everyone, and everyone's playing with his ear, the ear of his wonderful relatability. And not just that, Sri Ram goes even one step higher. That is increased intimacy. He depends on his devotees for help. Instead of helping his devotees, he is asking his devotees for helping him. Vishnu is never asking his devotees for helping him. But Sri Ramachandra goes to that extent and asking help from Sugriva, asking help from everyone around. You please help me in finding Mother Sita. Accessibility, increased intimacy and dependence. It is almost like a spiritual master who calls up the disciple and says, I'm passing through your city tomorrow. Is it okay if I can come over to your place for 30 minutes for breakfast prasadam? I promise I will not take more than that. The disciple hair will stand on end. He will think, Guru Maharaj, my whole life is for you. And you have so many homes to go. You don't ask me for permission. You instruct me. You can go to any home, but you are calling me and asking me if I can feed you. Yes, it is my privilege. Please come. So it is like that. Sri Ram is like the spiritual master, but asking his disciples, his devotees for help. It is like a math teacher who knows addition and arithmetic, but is asking the student, I am stuck with this problem. 2 plus 2 is 4, I know, but 4 plus 4, I don't know what the answer is. And the kid counts 5, 6, 7, 8. 4 plus 4 is 8, teacher. And the math teacher says, oh, thank you for helping me. The math teacher can herself solve the problem, but by depending on the student, she makes the student feel wanted, and the student's love in the heart for the teacher increases in intimacy. It's not just one way, but the student feels that I'm able to contribute something for my teacher. So this is the relatability of Sri Ramachandra. This is what in the 5th canto has been described by Hanuman. From the Kim Purusha Varsha, Hanuman is offering prayers in the 5th canto of Bhagavatam. And he says, Na janmanonam mahatana saubhagam na vak na buddhi akriti tosha heto taya visrishthan apino vanokasam chakara sakhe pata lakshmana grajah. Hanumanji is saying, Na janmanonam, I don't have aristocratic birth. Mahatana saubhagam, I don't have any fortune from my past life. Na vak, I don't even have ability to speak. Na buddhi. Hanuman is saying, I have no buddhi. Buddhi matam varishtham. Atulita baladhamam. Hema shailaba deham. Danuja vana krishanum. Jnaninam agraganyam. Sakala guna nidanam. Vanarana madhisham. Raghupati priya bhaktam. Vata jatam namami. That Hanumanji, who is the abode of all strength, the abode of all knowledge, the abode of all ability and intelligence, he's saying, Na vak, I don't have the ability to speak. Na buddhi, I don't have comprehending ability. And Na akriti tosha heto, my Lord, I don't even have bodily beauty to give pleasure to your eyes. And to add more trouble to my life, I don't have a home. I live in the forest and I eat fruits from this forest, which means you and us are completely two dimensions of life altogether. Na janma. You have Surya Vansha janma. You're Dasharat Nandan. Look at us. Na janma. Mahata na saubhagam. For you, there was a Putra Kameshti Yajna. The demigods came and prayed to you for descent. And we are just born like that. No mahata na saubhagam. We don't have saubhagya. Na vak. Sri Ram, your words are vajradapi kathoram kusumadapi sukomalam. You speak instructions like a thunderbolt, but you quote them softer than a lotus. But we don't even know how to speak. Buddhi, you are buddhir buddhimatamasmi, tejas tejas vinamaham. You are the source of all intelligence. And what you're speaking, that also we can't understand. And akriti tosha heto, look at your bodily beauty and look at our features. and look at the home that you come from and look at the home that we live in. Look at the clothes that you wear and look at the clothes that we wear. Look at the food that you're accustomed to and look at the food that we are accustomed to. There is absolutely no match between you and us, my Lord. But it is your gunavan nature. Tayyapi srishthan apino vanaukasam chakara sakhe bata lakshmana agrajah. But it is your greatness that you have accepted us. You have extended your hand of friendship. Not that you have accepted us as servants. We are always your servants. But you promoted us to equal friendship, to the position of being friends. So this is Gunavan. Gunavan means no discrimination. Patra patra vicharanam nakurute nasvam param vikshate deya devi marshako nahinava kala pratiksha prabho. Prabodhananda Saraswati has said this with respect to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. Absolutely no discrimination. And Sri Ramachandra is like that. Very kind, very, very compassionate at all times to everyone, irrespective of whatever is the past, irrespective of all qualifications or material disqualifications. Only if we go to Sri Ram and say, my Lord, apart from you, I have nobody. Please, please glance on me. Sri Ram is very, very kind. And therefore, those who meditate on Sri Ram, they also get this quality of being Gunavan. They also have this quality of quality. In Gunavan, we spoke about two aspects. One, extending for others, like Sri Ramchandra extends out. We gave the example of someone coming into a foreign land. That's the first. Gunavan means ready to sacrifice for others. And the second, the quality of relatability and being with everyone without having any air about our position and considering their position. Anyone who meditates on the Supreme Lord, he also inherits these qualities. Like we see Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada being Gunavan, he had both these qualities. He had the quality of extending out to see this, extending out, seeing the suffering of others and giving the hand out for help. And at the same time, accessing, being accessible to everyone, irrespective of their past. Srila Prabhupada, if you see, had everything perfect. Coming from Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan, being a sannyasi, being Bhaktivedanta scholar, being from the most excellent Vaishnav cultured background, relating to people of all backgrounds. On one hand, relating to people, great grandson of Henry Ford, Ambarish Prabhu. And on the other hand, relating to people who didn't even know who their father was, straight from the street. Prabhupada was accepting both. Where is Prabhupada getting that quality from? He's getting it from Sri Ram, from the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada, as a child, we can see, he vomited and spit out the chicken soup right from his childhood. He didn't like it. And he who had so much distaste and awareness to meat, he had to share his food in the same fridge where meat was kept at Butler, Pennsylvania, in the house of Gopal and Sally Agarwal. So you can see how much Prabhupada extended. This is the quality of the Supreme Lord. This is guna. Excellent, super excellent quality of Sri Ramachandra. And the more we take pleasure in these qualities, we will lose complete taste for any other quality that we find in this world of any other person. People in these days are so fascinated about sports stars and cricket stars and Hollywood, Bollywood stars. But anyone who really understands what we are discussing, they will lose all taste for any celebrity status whatsoever. They will only have taste in discussing the pastimes, the qualities of Sri Ram, who has so much love for us. We can see in the Ramayana, just to take this discussion ahead about Gunavan, we can see in the Ramayana that the of course, the killing, the fight with Ravan is very entertaining for everyone, no doubt. But the point I'm trying to stitch here is Vibhishan coming to Sri Ramchandra for shelter. And at that time, there is a difference of opinion. We see Sugriva, Jambavan, everyone speaking up that Vibhishan has a few disqualifications. First of all, he's born in a demoniac family, so the demoniac blood is flowing in him. Second, he is Ravana's brother. So in the same tree, in the same neem tree, you cannot have neem fruit and you cannot have a mango fruit there. On one hand, you have Surpanakha, you have Kumbhakarna and then Ravana, and then you can't have a mango out of nowhere. So first of all, he's a demoniac. It's a demoniac lineage. And secondly, demoniac family. Secondly, he's the brother of our enemy. So he's completely disqualified. We should not accept him. They also mentioned an interesting point that if he had to take shelter, he could have taken shelter any time, long time ago. Why did he wait so long? And why is he taking shelter right now? What is it that changed his mind overnight? Maybe he's a spy. Maybe he's being sly. Some even commented that if Vibhishan can leave his brother, then he can easily leave you also, Sri Ram. But amidst all that, when Sri Ramachandra asked Hanuman, who was an expert in Samudrika Shastra, to understand the features, the face reading, you could say, Mudra, Mudrika, Samudrika Shastra. So Lakshanam, Samudrika Lakshana Shastra. So by understanding the features on the face, Hanuman, he could see that the eyes and the face are the index of the mind and the heart. So seeing the body language, seeing the face, seeing that Vibhishan was full of innocence, Hanuman said, "My Lord, I think we should accept him. He may be the brother of Ravan. He may be from a demoniac family, and you know, according to everyone, maybe he's not qualified. But I think we should accept him because he has come." And Sri Ramachandra said, "Yes, you may have all the disqualifications, but the fact that you have come to me, I will accept. And what to speak of you, even if your brother Ravana comes and bows just one of his 10 heads, I will accept him also." This is Sri Ram, Gunava. Forgetting all the bad of the past, just accepting on the nature that we want to be accepted by the Supreme Lord. So how much can we do for our upliftment? Only so much, only little sadhana. But rest, it is Sri Ram who does. Being Gunavan, he forgets our past and relates with us and accepts us completely. We see on the path of bhakti, whether it is dham, the different pastime places, whether it is shastras, whether it is sadhu, guru, vigrahas, the deities, the holy name, all of this are actually the extensions of the hand of Sri Ramachandra. Sri Ramachandra from the spiritual world is extending his hand through all of these different aspects of bhakti, only to get us back. So this is the nature of Sri Ram, Gunavan, completely virtuous, completely spotless in character, only seeing the good. He has the eye of a sun. You see, Suryavanshi means what? The sun has this quality, whether it is pure water or whether it is a pool of muddy water, the sun with equal vision, it evaporates. The sun has a few qualities we can see, which naturally Sri Ramachandra is the origin of all these qualities. First and foremost, the sun is equal. It gives equal light to all directions. Sri Ramachandra is like that. Second, whether it is pure water, Ganga water, or muddy water, the sun evaporates both equally without having any bias or having any partiality. So Sri Ramachandra accepts all people from all background and all qualities, even if they have a bad past. The desire that I want to be in front of the sun, you see, if the muddy pool is in front of the sun accepts it, evaporates. So Sri Ramachandra accepts us. The third thing is now the place, does the muddy pool doesn't have any stink. It becomes clean. So similarly, once we are accepted by the Supreme Lord, our consciousness becomes completely transcendental. And fourth, the dirt of the muddy pool doesn't stick on the face of the sun. So similarly, when Sri Ramachandra accepts us, our sins don't get deposited in him. He still remains Gunavan. In this world, we can see if dal is spilled on the floor, you take a clean cloth and you clean. The floor becomes clean, but the cloth becomes dirty. But Sri Ramachandra's name, form, qualities and pastimes are not like that. They are like the sun because he's Suryavanshi. They evaporate the dirt in us, but that dirt doesn't go and putrefy or pollute the Supreme Lord. The Lord remains as transcendently pure as ever. So this is the nature of Sri Ram. And what is our nature? Look how disgusting our nature is. When Ram and Lakshman came, we see that Sugriva, when he first glanced at Ram and Lakshman, he had a doubt. Who are they? Are they enemies? Are they, although they are well-wishers, Sri Ram and Lakshman are the well-wishers for the whole world. Supreme Lord, coming there to give benefit to Sugriva. But Sugriva represents our mentality. He's still doubting. Instead of seeing that this is my eternal well-wisher, the Lord of my life, this is my Paramatma, Sugriva is still thinking, maybe they're sent by Vali, maybe my enemies still having this doubt, nature of criticizing and doubting. Sometimes people have this doubt. Sri Ramachandra, although we are talking so many good qualities about Sri Ram, why did he kill Vali from behind the tree? Why did he do this? Why did he do that? These people are not reading Shastras properly. That is why. There is a proper reason for everything. In fact, our Acharyas mentioned that a very interesting example has been given. They mentioned that Dasharatha Maharaj created a lake or a pond. And the name of the pond or the lake is Sri Ram. And it is filled with the most sweet nectar, which is Sri Ram's qualities and Bhakti Rasa. Anyone who tastes it, they taste Bhakti Rasa. And unlike the ponds or lakes of this world, which just stays in one place, this pond or lake created by Dasharatha Maharaj, dug by Dasharatha Maharaj, called as Sri Ram, it is moving from place to place. It is a flowing lake. It is a flowing pond. It is flowing from forest to forest. So Sri Ramachandra goes into the forest to search for all of us who are in the Bhavavana. So Dasharatha Maharaj creates a lake called Sri Ram, filled with the sweet nectar of Sri Ram's qualities. Anyone who tastes the nectar from that pond is tasting Bhakti Rasa. And the characteristic of this pond is it is moving from one place to another. Now, especially when this lake came to Kishkindha, when it came to Kishkindha, what happened? Everyone floated in that lake. All the monkeys, Hanuman and all the monkeys, they all floated in bliss. But there was one vanara called Vali. What did he do? He tied a rock to his neck, or let's say to his waist. What was that rock? The rock of averseness to the Supreme Lord. The rock of wickedness. He tied, that vanara called Vali, tied the rock of averseness or negativity, enmity to the Supreme Lord. Lack of faith in the Supreme Lord. And when you tie a rock and you jump into a pond, what happens? You will drown. So everyone floated in this lake called Sri Ram when this lake came to Kishkindha. But Vali, he tied a rock of averseness or distaste towards the Supreme Lord, lack of faith. And he drowned and died. So whose fault is it? Is it the fault of the Supreme Lord, or is it the fault of the monkey who tied the rope and the rock? It is Vali's fault. It is described that the Supreme Lord can teach us through two ways. One is Shastra and one is Shastra. Shastra means scripture. So when he teaches through Shastra, scripture, the wise and the noble, they learn through that. And when we don't learn through Shastra, then the Supreme Lord has to pick up the Shastra. And through both ways, only good and enlightenment comes up. You see, Vali also, he got Shastra, good words, through Tara. Very nice words, but they went in deaf ears. So then when Shastra failed, Supreme Lord Sri Ram had to pull up the Shastra. And that Shastra went through Vali. And then later, and on the departure bed, Sri Ramachandra even offered Vali this option, that if you want, I can pull out that arrow. Vali says, no, my lord, you have enlightened me. Through this Shastra Prahar Leela, you have actually enlightened me. All my avidya is out of the window. This is what Sri Ram does. You see, when he killed Tataka, when he killed Subahu, when he hit Marich far and wide, these are all qualities of his Gunavan. And also a little bit of Viryavan is coming there. Because you see, Tataka represents avidya. She represents avidya. And you can see Putana also has that same mood of being avidya. Therefore, when Putana came in Krishna Leela, Krishna closed his eyes that I don't want to see towards darkness or avidya. And in Ramchandra's Leela, this first demon or demoness, Tataka, represents avidya or ignorance. What ignorance is that? The ignorance about who I am, the ignorance about who God is, the ignorance about why I am here, the ignorance about what my relation with the Lord is. When one is ignorant about all of these things, that is called Tataka. So what Sri Ram does, being Gunavan and Viryavan, is he takes his arrow, Shastra, and he pierces through the Tataka of Avidya. And when that is there, Divya Gyan Hriday Prakashita, Preme Bhakti Jaha Hoite Avidya Vinasha Jate. This arrow, Ram Bhand, it destroys the Tataka in our heart. And what does Subahu represent? Well, Subahu represents all the past reactions, the reactions from past life. One time one man came and he told Srila Prabhupada, that I have read all this Bhagavad Gita. It was back in India. Prabhupada said, so what is there in the Bhagavad Gita? And typically, this is seen. In the Western world, people don't want to hear. And in India, they feel they know it. So it's kind of a typical challenge in preaching. So one Indian gentleman, he came to Prabhupada and he said, I have read the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada said, what does the Bhagavad Gita say? Prabhupada, so the man said, well, Krishna says, you follow dharma and you give up sin. Prabhupada said, wrong. Krishna says exact opposite. He says, give up dharma and continue sinning. I will take away your sin. Don't worry. So this man said, Krishna is saying, give up sin and follow dharma. Prabhupada said, no. Krishna is saying, even if you have sin, no problem. Give up dharma. I will take away your sin. Aham tvam sarva papibhyo mokshishyami. So this is Subahu. Subahu represents reactions from past life. And Sri Ramachandra's Bala, Astra, very strong and name by the name Bala, he shot it and Subahu dropped dead. So that means when we take shelter of Sri Ramachandra, the first thing that happens is Tataka or Avidya is destroyed. And then also Avidya about bodily conception and the basic understanding of the Bhagavad Gita. And then the reactions coming from past, they are also destroyed. The Supreme Lord takes away all those reactions. Whatever is coming from past life, he completely finishes it off. And then Marich is an interesting phenomenon. Marich, Sri Ramachandra did not kill him, but shot an arrow and he flung 800 miles across the ocean. Now this was one arrow, Atibala Shastra, the strong one. And he hit, and then Marich fell off far and wide. But Sri Ramachandra did not kill him. Why? Because Marich represents tendencies on the path of spiritual life. If the tendencies are bad, then they are shot away. But if the tendencies are good, there is a chance to come back. You see, someone who deviates on the path of bhakti is not destroyed. He comes back after some time. You know, he returns even after 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. He comes back. One of the boys also in the preaching, when he was being preached to by one of the devotee said, don't be so Krishna conscious. Parents, sometimes they can take objection thinking that you're going to be a brahmachari, etc. So this person said, no, actually my mother is very supportive of me being a devotee. Why? Because when she picked up the Bhagavad Gita and she tried reading it, she did not understand the philosophy. So then she desired, if I have a son and I educate my son in school nicely, then he can teach me the Bhagavad Gita. So when I am studying the Bhagavad Gita and I go home and I teach my mother, she is very happy. So she lost 20 years in her life in making me, making me into an adult now. But she's still interested. So what she started off with the Bhagavad Gita in, 20 years ago, she came back to it through her son. So in this way, many times we see people who start off, they may go away like Marich, shot across because of some tendency or distraction, but they will come back onto the service of Sri Ram. So Sri Ram doesn't kill Marich. So in this way, we see, coming back here to Vali also, Vali is saying, my Lord, don't pull out the arrow of me. With this arrow, you have enlightened me. You have destroyed the avidya. You have taken all the bad reactions from the past and all the distraction and tendencies are also thrown away. Not just that, my Lord, I'm having Sakshat Darshan at the time of death and I'm chanting your holy name and my eyes are glancing at your lotus face. This cannot get better. So please don't take the arrow back. Don't retrieve it and give me life. People sometimes criticize without understanding Sri Ram's position. In fact, Vali's wife herself glorifies Sri Ram. So what is our problem? She herself glorifies, my Lord, your qualities are so beautiful. In this way, Sugriva, he doesn't understand the position of Ram and Lakshman as they are coming, approaching him. We are like that. We are like Sugriva. Although Sri Ram is Gunavan, our vision is that, I don't need Ram in my life. I don't need bhakti in my life. My Guru Maharaj explains this very beautifully. He says that gratitude brings in happiness and lack of gratitude brings in distress. If there is a son who says, I'm a very good person, but he is rude to his father and doesn't even speak to his father. Generally, society will say, well, you know, you shouldn't do like that. You should be grateful to your father or your mother for whatever they have given you. So imagine how much Sri Ram gives us. Ram gives us the breath. Ram gives us sun and moon. Ram gives us the air. Ram gives us the earth that we stand on. Ram gives us the pranic life within. He is the super soul. So how can we think that I can live a life without God? Oh, I am a good human being. I'm helping everybody, but I don't need God. That's like the ultimate extent of ungratitude towards the, or ingratitude towards the Supreme Father, Sri Ram. So Sugriva is doubtful, and he even doubts that Sri Ram and Lakshman, maybe they are coming from Vali's camp. But when Hanuman goes to welcome, and there is a very interesting Yogamaya Leela of introduction between the two. Sri Ramachandra is asked for introduction. And Sri Ramachandra says, I am from Ayodhya and my father's name is Dasharatha and this is my lineage, etc. Very honestly, Sri Ram, as he is Charitravan, Gunavan, he's speaking. Now look at Lakshman. When Lakshman is asked for introduction, Lakshmana could also have said, you know, generally when someone says, I am from IIT and the other person is also from IIT, he can also say, well, I am also from IIT. So which means whatever he said, I am also like, I also deserve all that introduction and I also deserve all that glorification. But so Lakshmana could have said, well, I am also from Ayodhya. I am Sri Ram's brother. I am also the son of Dasharatha and all the good qualities that Ram is talking about. Well, maybe a little less, but I'm also having all of that. He could have said like that, but it's interesting. Lakshmana says, actually, it is just my fortune. It is absolutely my fortune that Ram calls me his brother. Actually, my position is that of his servant. He is my Lord. I am his servant. And then it's an interesting statement. Lakshmana says, I am his servant because I am completely attracted by his transcendental qualities being Gunavan. Ram is Gunavan. He's filled with so many beautiful qualities that my heart is just attracted by those qualities and I am his servant. And he is my Lord. I am just fortunate to be there. But Ram is so kind to pick me up and keep me on the same seat and call me as his brother. So this is what happens to someone who meditates on those qualities. Ramachandra is the complete abode of those qualities. And anyone who meditates on those qualities, like Lakshmana, there is natural humility. Because one will see a contrast of how great Ram's qualities are and how insignificant our qualities are and how we are proud of the qualities that we have. Just like if someone comes onto the shore of a big ocean, naturally they become humble, looking at the waves and the insurmountable nature of the ocean, the tides of the ocean, one feels so small. But when one is away from the ocean, one feels very big. So to the extent we are closer to the ocean, to that extent we feel very small. So to the extent we are closer to the qualities of Sri Ram, being Gunavan, to that extent we will naturally feel humble. So this is what Lakshmana feels. Now let's see Hanuman. When Hanuman is asked for introduction, who are you? Asked by Ram and Lakshman. Hanuman says, well, I am foolish, my Lord. I am unworthy. And I'm supremely unfortunate. I am foolish, I am unworthy and completely unfortunate. So Ramchandra says, you know, what kind of introduction is this? I gave a very nice introduction about myself and Lakshmana introduced himself. Now, when I'm asking you for introduction, why are you saying you're foolish? Why are you saying you're unworthy? Why are you saying you're unfortunate? Why? What is the reason? And for each one of that, the commentators have given very good reasons why. Why does Hanuman say that he is foolish? Hanuman says, my Lord, I am foolish because I am asking you for your introduction. When a living entity does not know who the Supreme Lord is, he is foolish in this world. The Lord who is maintaining him, if he doesn't know the introduction, the identity of that Lord, he is foolish. So then it's as if Ram and Lakshman said, then why are you saying that you're unworthy? Why are you not speaking about yourself? Like, see, I spoke that I am from Ayodhya, I am son of Dasharatha Maharaj, and this is how I am here. Why are you not speaking about yourself? To which it's almost like Hanuman is speaking in his heart. that, my dear Lord, the aim of life is to speak Ram Katha. When you introduce yourself, Ram Katha flows through your mouth. But when I'm introducing myself, it is not Ram Katha. So therefore, I'm unworthy to speak about myself. You speaking about yourself is the eternal reality, because it is the nature of every tongue to speak Ram Katha. So you don't have to speak Ram Katha. You're just introducing yourself, and that is reality. But when I introduce myself, there is no Ram Katha flowing. So therefore, I am very unworthy, my Lord. There is no point in me speaking. Then it's as if Sri Ramchandra is asking Hanuman, then why do you say you're unfortunate? Hanuman says, I am unfortunate, my Lord, because the Lord of my life is coming and asking me, who are you? So the day where the master doesn't recognize the servant, what is the use? Where is the fortune in the life of such a servant? So we see, I'm saying this as an example, that Hanumanji and Lakshmana, both as devotees, are so captivated by the Gunavan quality of Sri Ram that naturally they both are humble. Hanuman is humble, Lakshmana is humble, accepting the position of Sri Ramachandra's quality. How much compassion he has, how much merciful he is, how magnanimous Sri Ramachandra is in accessibility. This is the nature of Sri Ramachandra's heart. And anyone who meditates on this quality of Sri Ram, naturally they find increased devotion and humility in their heart. Sri Ramachandra, another quality of Sri Ram, and with this I will stop today, is he is dharmatnyaha and kritajnyaha, both. Now the interesting thing about dharmatnyaha, dharma means duty and nya means to know. So he is dharmatnyaha, he knows his duty. Well, we all have our duty in, we have our duty in serving the Lord. What is the duty of the Lord? He doesn't have any dharma, right? He's completely transcendental. Abhinya swarat, he's completely independent. So what is the dharma that he has? We have deha dharma, varna dharma, ashrama dharma, and then for the soul we have sanatan dharma. But what is the dharma for Sri Ram? Dharmajnaha, he knows everything. He knows all the shastra, dharmantu sakshat, bhagavat pranitam. Yet at the same time, what is the dharma that he comes to perform in this world? One time Mother Sita asked Sri Ram, they were sitting close to each other in the forest. And Mother Sita asked Sri Ram, what would be the greatest pain in your heart? Now, if this was Krishna Leela, Radha and Krishna are sitting, Krishna will say, the greatest pain in my heart is separation from you. But Sri Ramachandra is duty over love. Krishna is love over duty. So Krishna would have said, the greatest pain in my heart is separation from you. But Sri Ramachandra did not say that. When Mother Sita asked, what is the greatest pain in your heart? Would be the greatest pain, Sri Ramachandra said, the greatest pain in my heart is to see someone not suffer seeing the suffering of others. Which means we are expected to go through suffering, seeing the suffering of others. But when we don't suffer, seeing the suffering of others, that gives pain to the heart of the Supreme Lord. Like we can see in Chitrakoot, Dandakaranya, we can see when the sages came to Sri Ramachandra, and then they said that the demons are throwing abominable stuffs into our fire sacrifice. They are polluting the whole sacrifice, throwing substances in there and destroying the whole thing. They are even killing Brahmanas. We are doing yajna for the whole world, and we, the Brahmanas are saying, sages are saying, we are doing it for your pleasure, my Lord. And these people are polluting the whole sacrificial arena. So when Sri Ramchandra is listening, the sages added that we ourselves can use mantras and kill all of them. It's not that we need help. We can do that. But the reason we are coming to you, my Lord, is because we have come in this forest not to be Kshatriyas. We have come in this forest to practice tolerance. We can kill them. We have no problem. We can kill them. We can chant mantras and Asur Maran mantra, we can chant and they will drop dead. But we have not come into the forest for Himsa. We have come here for practicing Sahishnuta, tolerance, Ahimsa. And any sort of cursing others, anger towards others, violence towards others, we want to stay away from that. So the sages said, my Lord, if you think we are worthy of your protection, please protect us. We beg you for protection. We can protect ourselves, but we want to practice dependence on you. So at that time, our dharmatnyaha, viryavan, gunavan, Sri Ram, He says, please don't beg from me. Please, please don't request me. You order me. I will never be able to do favor on you. You are doing favor on me by engaging me in this service. So let me kill. Seeing you suffer, that is giving me suffering. This is the greatest pain for me. So look at Sri Ram. This is his dharma. Dharma for Sri Ram is to go through suffering, seeing our suffering. He is not just the knower of dharma. He practices this Karuna dharma. So at that time, Mother Sita said, my dear Lord Sri Ram, I have a point to make here. You have not come into the forest to be a Kshatriya. You have come into the forest to be a Vanachari, to move in the forest, said Mother Sita. You have not come here to be a Kshatriya. And then Mother Sita added, Kshatriya has generally, they have three faults. One, they speak lies, or they may speak lies. Second, there may be some illicit behavior in one's character. And third, they may engage in unnecessary violence. Mother Sita said, as far as the first two are concerned, I have no doubt about you. You never speak lies and forget about illicit activities. Your character is perfect. But my Lord, I am concerned. Maybe this could be unnecessary violence here. We have come in the forest to live like Vanachari. You have given up your position as a Kshatriya. So my Lord, these are the three flaws of a Kshatriya. First two are, I'm completely fine, but with the because I have no concern about them. You have not a blot. You don't have any blemish on your character as far as all three are concerned. But my concern is you should not engage in unnecessary violence. Sri Ramchandra is listening to the whole thing. This also teaches us when there are two parties in a marriage, the person should let the other person speak and listen also. Mother Sita also gives an example, a story to support that. She says, Indra, many times he comes and he tricks the sages by sending women. And sometimes what he does is, he doesn't send women. Like for example, once he came as a Kshatriya himself. Indra came as a Kshatriya and he gave a weapon to a sadhu. He said, you just hold, I will be back. And Indra went, and 1 day passed, 2 days passed, 3 days passed. The sadhu is standing with the sword and the weapon, thinking that this person will come and take it back. And then it became weeks. His attachment to this weapon increased because he was thinking, I have to be careful of this. What if that person comes and asks me back again? I am responsible. I have a duty. But when Indra did not come, because he had come to trick as a Kshatriya, he gave his weapon to the sadhu and he left. Now the sadhu, he thought, anyway, I have it. Why not I start using it? And he started off with basic work with that weapon. And then later on, he became a serial killer. He became a murderer. He became very violent. So Mother Sita gives this example to say that even sages can go off track by using weapons in the forest. So this is my concern. Oh, Sri Ram, this is my concern that your character should not be polluted. At that time, Sri Ram hears to Mother Sita completely. And he congratulates her and says that you're such a well-wisher. You're all only thinking about my good. But O Sita, please understand. Now look at the Gunavan and the Dharmajnaha quality of Sri Ram mixing with the Viryavan. Viryavan because he's ready to fight. Gunavan because he's ready to listen and understand the situation. And Dharmajnaha because he knows his duties perfectly. Sri Ram tells Mother Sita, whether in the forest or in Ayodhya, one thing is for sure. I am the servant of the king called Bharat. Bharat is the king. I am the servant. Whether I am in the forest as a Vanachari or whether I am a Grihastha or whether I am in Ayodhya, wherever I am, my duty, my identity is I am representing Bharat and my responsibility is to be his servant. I hold this bow and arrow. Why do I hold this bow and arrow? It is to be a servant of Bharat. I am always fighting. And what is the purpose of this bow and arrow? Whenever I hear cry of surrender and helpless dependence, my bow and arrow function automatically to cause satisfaction in the heart of the surrendered soul. This is my dharma. My dharma is to take away the suffering of others. I suffer when I see others go through suffering. I cannot see the suffering of others. Then Sri Ramchandra said, I can renounce my brothers. I can renounce you. I can renounce my whole kingdom. I can renounce all my opulences. I can even give up this life for others. this is how much the suffering of others influences my life. So the dharma for Sri Ram is sakrid eva prapanno yastavasmi iti sayachate abhayam sarvada tasmai dadami etad vratam mama. When Vibhishana surrendered, Sri Ramachandra said, anyone who comes to me, irrespective of whoever they are, with suffering, with helpless, desperate surrender, they tell me, oh Sri Ram, from today I am yours. Then my kodanda, I being kodanda pani, my bow and arrow is always there to protect such a devotee. So therefore, it is interesting that at that point, Sri Ramachandra says, even if Ravana surrenders, I will accept him. And then somebody could ask, well, if the kodanda is so powerful, the bow and arrow of Ram is so powerful, then one arrow of Ram should be enough to kill Ravan. Why did it take so many? Ram was hitting and then one head would fall and another head and then another head and another head. Why did that happen? Oh, that is also the mixing of Gunavan, Viryavan and Dharmajnaha. All three qualities put together. Why? The Viryavan nature of Sri Ram, he wanted more and more fight. Because if Ravan is dead, then the fight is over. So that's the Viryavan nature of Ram. But the Gunavan nature of Ram and the Dharmajnaha nature of Sri Ram, Dharmajnaha of seeing the suffering of Ravan, Ramchandra was thinking, let me give him one more head. Maybe with that head, he may surrender to me. And he shot. And the head came back again, thinking that this head may surrender to me. But then that head was also nasty. Then Ram shot down and then another head grew. Ram, he could have finished, but this is the Gunavan, Viryavan and Dharmajnaha nature mixing together. Sri Ramachandra is feeling that maybe he will have a change of mind. Maybe he will have better brain substance. Maybe he will have the head to surrender to me. Maybe this head will fall at my feet. But unfortunately, Ravana had many heads, but no brains. Many brains, but no heart. So therefore, Sri Ramchandra thought, okay, if head is not working, I will shoot and do heart surgery directly. And then he shot and Kodanda Pani Sri Ram became very victorious. In this way, this is the nature of Sri Ram. He's Gunavan, Dharmajnaha, and he's Viryavan also. Very, very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. And the devotees are also like that. They are also Viryavan. The devotees of the Lord are also like that. Anybody who remembers Sri Ram, he also becomes Viryavan. Viryavan. Srila Prabhupada used to say that devotees in Krishna consciousness, they should have the courage of a British fighter, a British soldier, and the heart of a Bengali mother, which means Vajradapi Kathoram Kusumadapi Sukomalam. Ramchandra's devotees, they take the Gunavan aspect in serving society, Dharmajnaha aspect in serving the Vaishnavas and following proper Vaishnava etiquette, and the Viryavan aspect in fighting opposition, deviations, fighting material nature. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains, in our heart, we should be like a Bengali mother. But in our spirit of fight, we should be like a courageous British soldier. Even after the Juhu fight, Srila Prabhupada said, that was a very good fight. It was a good fight. It was a good fight. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also gives the example, very similar. because we are talking about Sri Ram's valor, Khara, Dushana, Ravana, all of them. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, it is like a cub, a lion cub. You see a lion cub, the size is only small. It is so small. But when it looks at an elephant, the lion cub inside has an elephant of courage to pull down the elephant. It starts roaring. Its size is only so much. But it is roaring on the power of the lion. It knows if the elephant comes close, the father is there. So in this way, we can understand that the living entity, the devotees of Sri Ram, they take that quality of Viryavan and they become cubs themselves and they roar the holy name of Ram. They roar Ram Katha, Shrunvan Ram Katha Nadam, Konu Yantim Param Gatim. It is the roaring of Ram Katha. So the cub represents Rama Bhakta. The roaring of a cub represents Ram Katha and Ram Nam. The lion here represents Sri Ramachandra himself. And the elephant represents any form of material energy, any form of Maya Shakti. So if we roar and fight material nature on the power of our father, then however big the elephant is, the elephant will have to come down dead. Maam eva ye prapadhyante, mayam etam tarantite. So in this way, Sri Ramachandra is gunavan, viryavan, and dharmajnaha. As far as kritajnaha, satyavakyam, dridavrataha, whenever another opportunity arises, Sri Ramachandra arranges, at that time we can discuss. By hearing these qualities of Sri Ram, our heart should melt. Our heart, which is like a stone, should melt by the lotus feet of these qualities, so that the stone-like heart can melt and the ahalya of bhakti can come out and offer ourselves to Sri Ram on this Navami Tithi. Sri Ram, thank you for coming into this material world. Thank you for performing such beautiful, wonderful pastimes. You didn't have to go through whatever you went through. There was no astrology on you. There is no effect of planets on you. It is your swaicha, swechha, being completely swatantra. You went through all of these beautiful, wonderful pastimes of union and separation, only so that all of us who are separated from you can be united with you by hearing your sweet, wonderful qualities and pastimes, by worshipping your form, and by chanting your holy names in the association of your devotees. Vancha kalpatrubhyascha kripasindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for this mesmerizing class on the qualities of Sri Ram. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. And Prabhuji, if you have some time, would you like to take some questions, Prabhuji?
Actually, I have one meeting at 1 o'clock. I thought I will end it a little early, then I can take some questions. But since it's already cutting too close, I have to break my fast also and chant Gayatri also. So maybe sure. We will pause it here, and maybe another time we will take, if that is okay with you.
Sure, Prabhuji, sure. Once again, Prabhuji, thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time on this auspicious day of Sri Rama Navami and making us close to Lord Rama with his qualities and enlightening on the topic, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for all the devotees for giving your association on this auspicious day. With this, I would like to pay my obeisances to Prabhuji and all the devotees on the call. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. His grace Amarendra Prabhuji ki jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Ramachandra Bhagavan ki
jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji,
Dharmat Pranam. Hare Krishna Prabhuji.